Amen. Let's turn to Luke chapter 5. I want to continue on with the new wineskin. The new wineskin. Just going to deal with this for a very short time here this morning in the Word of God. Luke chapter 5. Reading from verse 27. We are continuing to deal with this new wineskin. Verse 27. And after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and he followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and their Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answered and said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And they said unto him, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink? And he said unto them, can ye make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom was with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. And he spake also a parable unto them, no man putteth a piece of new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles or into old wineskins, else the new wine will burst the bottles or burst the skins and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into bottles, into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also, having drunk old wine, straightway desireth new wine, for he saith, the old is better. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for Christ. We thank you for Calvary. We thank you for that miracle of the Master, of the one who came to die for sinners, to search and to seek for that which is lost. We thank you for the one who came as the great physician of souls. You done what no psychologist could do. You done what no religion could do. You couldn't. You accomplished on the cross what no man by good works and good deeds will ever be able to accomplish. My God, I thank you that you and your grace and your mercy, Lord God, you came down and were manifest in flesh, born of a virgin. My God, you walked the streets, Lord God, of Capernaum, Nazareth, and Jerusalem. And Lord God, by the power of this gospel, Lord God, you saved and you changed sinners by the power of your word. Lord God, we thank you. Lord God, for the power of your gospel. Lord God, we cannot raise up a new wineskin in this city apart from the simplicity of your gospel, where you change men, you change their hearts, you change their lives, you make them new creatures. And Christ, my God, you are preparing a new wineskin, Lord God, filled with new wine in the midst of this city. And my God, we're asking for a radical change. Lord God, the old wineskin doesn't satisfy us. The old wine doesn't satisfy. But Lord God, we need the power of this gospel, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Jesus gave this parable, and this is the parable we have been dealing with over the past weeks. He says in verse 37, and no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. We've already seen in this concerning the old wineskin and the new wineskin, the old wine and the new wine. And we see there that the old wineskin represents those that the Pharisees gathered out. They had become an old wineskin. The wine within them was the teaching that had been poured into them. And that teaching of the Pharisees of do's and don'ts and adding lots of things that weren't in the Bible and taking away things that were in the Bible, it had left the Pharisees without any power. The Pharisees were absolutely filled with religion, filled with tradition, but what they sat was in judgment of the Word of God. They said, we don't believe that, and we don't need to do that, and well, we believe these, and we follow these traditions, and this is how we were born, and this is what we've been taught for 30 years, and these are the things that we believe. But we know that when Christ came, He called that teaching an old wine. And with an old wine, it's a fermented wine. And the thing about an old wine is it's addictive. And Jesus says a man who's drunk the old wine, it's very hard for him to desire new wine. Why is it? It's because those old teachings of the Pharisees, of dead religion, of religion that never changed their mind, it never gave them forgiveness, it never gave them assurance, it never gave them real peace of heart or joy of mind. It could not do that. It didn't have that power. And Jesus rejected that old wine. All he said is it's fermented. And the thing about fermented wine is it addictive. It's hard to leave it. And we see it all across this city that religion is addictive. What we were born will die. Haven't we heard it? Well, I was born and I'm going to die a Catholic, or I was born a Protestant and I'm going to die a Protestant. I was a Presbyterian, or I was a Muslim. I am a Muslim. What, you're getting drunk? Good Muslims don't believe that. Oh, but I'm a good Muslim. A Catholic cursing, blaspheming the name of Christ. Oh, but I'm a Catholic. What does that mean? Your religion is sending you to hell. Saints, our world is filled with religion. The Middle East is filled with Islam. And 1,000 other teachings. China, India, the nations of our world, Africa, South America, and Ireland. Ireland has enough religion in it to sink 1,000 battleships. It's destroyed this religion, but it's never solved the drink problem, or the drug problem, or the immorality, or the broken homes, or the insanity. Religion cannot do that. And Christ is saying here, that old wineskin, what's he talking about the wineskin? It was those Pharisees. Oh, they were very religious. We keep all the commandments. They dressed right, they sounded right, they knew the Bible inside out, back to front, but they were on their way to hell. Do you know what Jesus said to them? He said, your father is the devil. Do you know why? Because your works are of the devil, your motives of the devil, your desires are of the devil. You have anger in your heart, you have adultery in your heart, you're a whitewashed sepulchre, you look good outwardly. Do you remember the Pharisee and the poor tax collector who went up to the temple? The tax collector, he's a sinner. It's the publican that we read of here. The publicans were the most despised men in all of Israel. They were sinners. They were rejects because of their job. And the tax collector, he's not even allowed into the temple. He's standing out there and he said, oh, have mercy on me, a poor sinner. Do you know what the Pharisee's doing? He's standing in there and he's looking out the tax collector and he says, thank God I'm not as that man. But I tell you, the man standing out there, a sinner begging for mercy, is on his way to heaven. And the Pharisee in the house of God, who thinks he's good, thinks he's righteous, thinks he's on his way to heaven, is fast on his way to hell. His eyes are blinded, his ears are deaf, his heart can never be changed. You know why? He is addicted to the teaching. He's not an alcoholic addicted person, but he is a man addicted to religion. His religion has blinded him. And he says, I'm righteous, I'm good, I'm fine, I'm on my way to heaven, I'm trying my best, I'm going to do good. How much good, as we heard, does it take to get to heaven? Jesus says, if you've broken one of these commandments, you've broken them all. And if you've broken them all, you're a sinner on your way to hell. Yeah. To break one in thought, mind, imagination. And yet it takes perfect righteousness to get to heaven. And this was the problem in Luke chapter 5. We see Jesus coming to a man called Levi, sitting at the seat, the tax collector's seat, and there he is. He is the most despised person in Capernaum. He is an absolute reject. You don't have a tax collector as a friend in that community, that world. They were despised. They were treated like the plague. They were a bit like a traffic warden in Limerick today, I'm sure. Maybe not just that bad, but they're not far off it. Since we're talking about reality, that when Jesus stood up in Nazareth, his own home, 30 years old, lived as a holy man, lived in the home of his mother, he worked as a carpenter, probably learnt his trade at the hand of Joseph. Here he is, 30 years, absolute perfection. He's a holy man in word and mind. He is absolute perfection. Those brothers who looked upon him, can you imagine living with a brother who never does anything wrong? Can you imagine living with utter perfection? You, the brothers, the sisters, those, the cousins, those in around, friends, are getting it wrong. But here is a young man growing up who is absolute perfection. When he was 30 years old, we read that he stepped out into ministry in his hometown or village of Nazareth. This was the hour. And as he began to preach in the local synagogue, he opened the Word of God and he began to read the Word of God. And you know, he said, notice this, very important. He said, this day is this word fulfilled in your midst. And you know what happened? They went crazy. We are told that the Jews of his hometown, of his own locality, in his own synagogue, rose up, they dragged him out of the synagogue to the brow of the hill, and were going to cast him over and kill him. But it wasn't his hour to die, and it said he walked straight through them. Do you know why they done that? They've heard the law of God preached every week. Yeah. Every single week on the Sabbath, they've heard the law of God preached. Men stood there and opened the scripture. But the first time Christ preaches, that old wineskin is going to rip. It's too much for it. You see, those synagogues were old wineskins. They've been affected by the ferment of legalism, law, addition, and subtraction. What they didn't like, they rejected. What they wanted in there, they added to the Word of God. And it lost its power. They could listen to sermons. They could read the Bible, and it had no effect on them. They eased their conscience. It never changed them. But as soon as Christ stands up and he said, this day, here, right in our midst, is this fulfilled? In other words, he was applying the Word and said, this is going to be lived. This is going to be lived. We're not teaching theory. We're only preaching the scripture. And your life is going to be changed. Do you realize that the application of God's word is radical in this generation? An undiluted gospel. Not manufactured, not touched by man's hand. But the simple gospel. No addition, no subtraction. Is life changing. But it's a threat to the old wineskin. The old religious establishment, what did Jesus say? If you try to pour new wine in an old wineskin, it'll rip it, it'll bust. Yeah. You cannot do it. It's not going to work. Do you know that when Christ was rejected at Nazareth, he found a new home, he moved home. When he was rejected in the synagogue, he found a new home in a place called Capernaum. He moved places. This was a beautiful place at the very north of Galilee. On the edge of the Sea of Galilee, most of Christ's miracles, most of his healings happened there. Most of his preaching happened there. He lived there in that small community, no more than 1,000 people. He didn't go to Jerusalem. He didn't begin with the priests and with the high priests and the religious teachers and the scholars. He didn't go there. He went to this little obscure village called Capernaum. Utterly out of the way. It was a beautiful place. A small place. It was a fishing seaside resort. It was a place where men worked with their hands. This is where Peter and James and John and others fished at the seaside of Galilee. This is where they all worked. And it's here, Capernaum, Christ is going to get himself a new wineskin. He says, I can't pour my teaching in that old wineskin. It's going to rip. Those men will say, we don't believe that. They're going to murmur. They're going to change it. They'll take away from it. And they'll try to add their traditions. And they'll make it of no power. Do you realize in certain places it says Christ could do no great miracle there because of their unbelief? It didn't say he couldn't do miracles, but no great miracles. Do you realize how unbelief affects Christ? Even in his day, even as he walked the street, he says, I can't do all I want to do here because men with their religion do not believe me. They're always trying to change it. When he said to the man with the withered hand, stretch out thy hand, he could have said, well, the religion of my day says that can't happen. Or what about those who broke through the roof and brought the lame man down? They could have said, we're too respectable to break open the roof and bring a sick man down for Jesus to heal. That's not within our orthodoxy. That would be very disrespectful. We don't want to seem to be a rough bunch here. I tell you, saints, they were desperate to get that man to Christ. We want him to heal him. He's a paralytic. He's paralyzed. He cannot walk. And they say either Christ is going to heal him or there's no hope. This man with the withered hand, either Christ is going to heal him or there's no hope. Either the Levi with his debt of sin, his wicked heart, his terrible past, his bad reputation. Either Christ is going to save him and change his heart or there's no hope for him. None whatsoever. He'll go to hell. Yeah. You see, Jesus said, I haven't come for the righteous, I've come for the sinner. Amen. I haven't come for good men and religious men and men who have it all together. I've come for a man who says, I am a sinner and I need a real Christ. And if you can help me, you need to heal me because I'll never make it. I don't have the power. I know what this heart is. My heart is desperately wicked. Christ was dealing here and he starts at Capernaum to get for himself a new wineskin. Listen to what is said 2,000 years ago by Josephus. He was a Jew, but he was a Roman historian. And he wrote about the history of the day. And he was there in the first century. And he visited Capernaum in the first century. Listen to what he says. Because he's talking about Capernaum. See, Capernaum's a very interesting place. And when you understand this, you'll understand what he was doing in gaining a new wineskin. Do you realize that Capernaum, things grew that couldn't grow anywhere else? Do you realize it was an utterly unique place on the face of the earth that you got a cold wind and a hot wind blowing at the same time? Plants that had to have a hot wind, they could grow there. And plants that had to have a cold wind, they could grow there. It was an utterly unique place in Israel. Listen to what Josephus says. One may call this place the ambition of nature, where it forces those plants that are naturally enemies to one another to agree together. It is a happy contention of the seasons, as if every one of them laid claim to this country. For it not only nourishes different sorts of autumnal fruit beyond men's expectation, but preserves them a great while. Now it's 2,000 years he wrote it about Capernaum, that all these strange plants all grow at Capernaum. And they shouldn't grow. They're so diverse. They're so different. They're actually enemies. They cannot grow on the same ground. And yet the condition of Capernaum, there was an atmosphere with the nature, the elements that God had created, that all those plants could grow together side by side, almost joined as friends rather than enemies. Do you hear what I'm saying? And do you know what Christ done? He chose Capernaum and he created, that was his new home. That's the headquarters of his ministry. This is where he's going to create a new wineskin. And do you know what? He created an atmosphere there where those who were once enemies are going to be brought in together and made friends in Jesus Christ. That was the power of what he was doing. Look at Christ when he goes to this tax collector, Levi. He's a sinner. He's not a religious man. He doesn't even go to the synagogue. He's not allowed in the temple. He doesn't partake of feasts. He's a sinner and he knows it. He knows he's not forgiven. He knows he's not righteous. He knows he's not good, though he wants to be. He believes in God. He wants his heart changed, but he cannot be. This is Levi. Do you know what God is going to do in Capernaum? He is going to gather together men and raise up a vessel that's going to change our world for Christ. He's going to change them. What is a new wineskin? A new wineskin is the life Christ brought together. That's Peter. At the beginning of this chapter, we see Peter, he's fishing. Christ says to him, Peter, you're going to be a fisher after souls. You're going to leave all that and follow me. But he says to Levi, Levi, follow me. That's all he heard. Here he is sitting there. He's got his job, everything. And Christ speaks to him and says, Levi, follow me. What a power in that word. But Master, no, follow me. Follow me. And if you follow me, you'll find every answer in your walk to that. You see, Levi had to be made a new man. Look at him. He's a vile sinner. He's a hell-deserving sinner. He's an unrighteous man. He's a man with an old heart, an old mind, an old life on his way to hell. But do you know what Christ is going to do? In one moment of time, he's going to change him and make him a new man. Saints, this is the life of this. We don't get a new wineskin without the new birth. That's my message, is the new birth, saints. The born-again experience. Listen, in the Bible, it says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and 2, it speaks about us as Christians being newborn babes. In Galatians 6:15, we are called new creatures. In other words, something happened in us to make us new. We were once old. We were born old. We lived old. We were old sinners. I was an old sinner. Some of you in here, you were old sinners. Atheism, religion, the world, drink, immorality, drugs, a thousand things damn your soul. But he says you became new creatures. In 1 Corinthians 5 and 9, he says you're a new lump. In Ephesians 2:15, he says you're a new man. In 1 John 2 and 8, he commands them with a new commandment to love one another. In Hebrews chapter 8 verse 8, he speaks about a new covenant. In Romans 7 and 6, about the newness of spirit, of an inward change. In Hebrews 10:20, he speaks about a new and a living way that can only be found spiritually. You can't find it naturally in a church or in a religion. There is a spiritual new way to walk when a man meets with Jesus Christ. He also speaks about a new name. He says that we're going to sing a new song. He says that we're going to be so changed, we'll be made ready to live in a new city. And that new city is called the New Jerusalem. He also says that he's going to give us the hope, the promise, and the expectation of a new heaven and a new earth. Since this heaven and this earth is going to pass away. The Bible says everything is going to pass away. Ireland is going to pass away. Your homes are going to pass away. All of it is going to pass away. But God promises to the newborn Christian a new home, a new heaven, a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. That's what he speaks about. In Ezekiel 36:26, he says, I promise to give you a new heart. But we're told that we have an old heart. And Jeremiah says, he says, the heart of man is naturally, desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's what the Bible says. It says every man's heart, every man is born a sinner. Every man is born in the old Adam. Old Adam dominates his life. That's why when you become a Christian, it says your old flesh is your old Adam, your old nature, your old life. He says here, a new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you, and I will take out of you the stony heart of your flesh. Levi had a stony heart. He wanted God. He was looking for mercy. He wanted forgiveness, but his heart was a heart of stone. But Christ says, I am going to give you a new heart. How can you sing a new song if you don't have a new heart?
Amen.
You see, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You can't just put a song on your lips. I mean a real new song given by God. You can't sing that. You can't really sing that unless you have a new heart. And if you have a new heart, you'll have a different life. Your whole nature will change. The whole direction of your life. This is heart surgery. Christ doesn't give you a new name. Here's a new name. And in fact, I'm going to forgive all your sins. You'll go to heaven. I'm giving you the assurance. And here's a new name. And you're a Christian. And you're a part of my church. But you're still the same. You're old. You see, that's the old wineskin. All of the religion. All of the good deeds, but they were old in their heart. Their motives were old. Their agendas were old. Everything was old. And they were addicted to a life of sin. They knew nothing else. Let me tell you of John chapter 3. And Christ met with a Pharisee. Remember, it's an old wineskin. He's talking to a young man, but it's an old wineskin. It's a man who's been filled with old wine, and it's addictive and it's hard to leave. It affects the thinking. And here's Christ offering new wine and saying, in order to have this new wine, you've got to become a new wineskin, a whole new vessel. I can't pour my teaching into you unless you're changed. Christ doesn't educate sinners. He doesn't do that. He first changes them. Amen. Then he tells you, live a new life in me.
Amen.
He doesn't try to get the sinner to grow into Christianity or to become better. He changes his life. He radically changes them. Then he says, come follow me. Because now you can do it. Now you can do it. Listen to what Christ says in John 3. There was a man of the Pharisees. He's an old wineskin named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He's a ruler. He's a young man. He's a spiritual man. He believes there's a God. He believes that God is the way to heaven. He knows all of those things. It says the same came to Jesus by night. Notice that. He wants Jesus, but he's coming by night. And he said unto him, Rabbi, our teacher, we know that you are a great teacher come from God. You're teaching this new wine. It is profound. It is radical. We know this is from God. For no other man can do these miracles that you doest, except he were from God. He's looking at Christ. He says, you change lives. You heal the sick. You do miracles. I know it's real. And here you are with your teaching. It's new wine. It says, how do I get in this? How do I receive of this? And he goes further. And Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again. Listen to what he's talking to. Who? He's talking to a Pharisee, a young, zealous, desperate Pharisee, a religious young man, speaking of Christ. And Jesus says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There are some things we cannot do. No man in this city, no woman will ever see the kingdom of God unless they be born again. Jesus said it. Except a man be born again, or unless he be born anew, or born from above, unless he be made new, unless his life is changed, he will never see the kingdom of God. God isn't going to let old sinners in his kingdom, or old dead religion, or old works in the kingdom of God. He won't allow it.
Amen.
And Nicodemus said unto him, he's hearing, Nicodemus, you religious man, you must be born again. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man, when he is old? Nicodemus was old. He was a part of that old wineskin. He'd heard a lot, knew a lot, and sat in many churches. He said, how can a man be that is old physically be born again? How can it be? This is a religious man who knew the whole Old Testament inside out. He knew the law of God. He was a religious ruler. He was a leader in religion. Do you know, I had a friend in Newry, good friend many years ago, and he was in Newry in the north. And there he was. He was desperate for God, desperate to know God. And he worked with the priest, and he would go round and do the last rites when people were dying, and give them the mass for the last time in their living rooms, on their beds, in the hospitals. And he was desperate to know this God. He grew up in it all of his days. He was very dedicated, very religious, very zealous. And do you know what? As he would visit those bedside, and he would be with the priest, and he was going into the priesthood himself, and he would watch these poor people take communion or take the mass, and they had no hope of salvation. They had no forgiveness of sins. They are filled with fears. They didn't know their sins were forgiven. There was no joy. There was no expectation of, I am going to see my Jesus. None. And here he is. He's watched this. And he's with the priest. And he's saying, he's crying out in his heart saying, can I know? Can I really have this? Is this all there is? That men, at the hands of the priest, get the mass and they die in their sins, not knowing, no assurance, no hope. He watched it. He was broken hearted. He was desperate. He thought by going into the ministry, maybe he would earn this. Maybe he would earn this. Since he was part of an old wineskin of religion that had mixed real Christianity with religion and had closed the book of God, and now people couldn't see salvation. This Bible was banned from many people in this land for generations. It was a closed book because of a church council. They said the book's very dangerous. It is. Amen. They said this Bible so changes lives and communities and countries, we don't want anybody to read it again. Well, I can understand that. Yeah. It has changed multitudes of lives. Amen. Like in the early church. That's where the power of this gospel is. But notice he's speaking to Jesus and he says, how can I be? I'm an old man. How can I enter the second time into my mother's womb and be born again? What a question. He's a very intellectual leader. He knows a lot. He's saying, how can this happen? Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Jesus is saying it to the old wineskin. He says, you're not going to enter in. You cannot be a part of what I'm doing, because you are an old wineskin. You're filled with fermented wine, and you need to be born again. What a message. Saints, we have an answer for this city and every sinner on the streets, for the drug addict, for the harlot, for the religious man, for the Muslim, for the Protestant, for the Catholic, for the atheist. We have an answer. You must be born again. But I don't feel God. I don't see him. That's because you're dead in your sin. That's why you can't feel him or see him or know him. That's why you don't know your sins are forgiven. That's why you don't know your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You need a new heart, because with that new heart, new affections come, new desires, a new will, a new ambition. That's why when he met with Levi in the middle of Capernaum and he touched his life and he said, follow me. He didn't give him a lecture. He didn't have to give him a teaching seminar. He didn't give him a few books. He said, you need born again.
Yeah.
Do you know why Levi instantly stood up? Since he was the worst sinner in the community, he instantly stood up and his whole life has changed. And he calls a feast and he fills his house with sinners and other tax collectors. And he calls Jesus and the disciples and says, I want you to sit at this table and tell them what you told me. What was Christ doing? Christ is forming a brand new wineskin, and it's going to be filled with his teaching, not the teaching of religion, not the teaching of men, not the teaching of culture. It's going to be filled with Christ's teaching. And you know what happened? The Pharisees were standing in that room, mumbling, grumbling, complaining. They are looking at this because they couldn't sit with these sinners. But Jesus is in the midst of them and he's changing their whole life. And you know what, saints? When God changes your heart, when you're born again, he puts a new heart within you. You can never be the same again. And you'll leave things you thought you'd never leave. And you think differently. And you desire differently. And you believe differently. And you know that a new wine has come into you. This new wine is good, saints. This new wine brings a forgiveness of sins. This new wine brings a joy and hope of heaven. This new wine changes the whole direction of your life. This new wine puts a song in your heart. This new wine gives you a victory over the devil. This new wine changes the entire life. And at Capernaum, Jesus warned of the leaven of the Pharisees. Do you know what leaven is? It's a little bit of yeast. Just a little tiny bit of yeast. And you put it in the dough of the bread and it goes through everything, affects everything. And Jesus is warning his new wineskin, his believers, those who have followed him. And he's warned them and he's saying, I warn you about the leaven of the Pharisees. If you take a little bit of their teaching where they say, we don't believe that, but it's written in the Bible. And well, we think you need to do this, and why are you not doing this? Because the Bible doesn't say it. And he says, be careful lest a little bit of leaven of the Pharisees gets taken and gets put in the midst of you. And do you know what's happened to the church of our generation? The leaven of the Pharisees in the church. We hear the word of God preached. We hear the message of born again. We hear the message of a new life in Christ. Of being in a new covenant. But a new covenant has become an old thing. A new covenant and a relationship with God means I can live like a sinner. I can go out there, get drunk, come into church and act spiritual. No, you're dead in your sins. And that little bit of leaven of man's tradition has come into the church and it's affected everything. And now we've lost the power. We have well-dressed people standing, grumbling, complaining, keeping laws and commandments and tradition. But they cannot change the heart of a sinner. But our Christ will. Our Christ will. Saints, I am talking about a new wineskin that will radically change your life. And Christ preached this. Christ preached, you must be born again to be in this new wineskin. And if you come into this new wineskin, you will have eternal life. Let's stand here this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless you, wonderful Savior. Oh my God, we do need you. Oh God, if ever the city needed you, it's now. My God, like you warned Capernaum of old, you said you that have been lifted up in pride to the very heights, that you are going to be cast down to hell itself. Saints, that's what Christ warns of. And this Capernaum, the last warning to it before he left it, never to go back again. Never to teach them again. Never to open his mouth. Wouldn't that be terrible? To hear the gospel for the last time from Christ. And he says, I'm never coming back to you to speak to you again. He did it to Capernaum. God help us. If he'd done that in Limerick, Limerick's finished. Limerick would be finished if Christ closes the door. Listen to what Christ said. He says, then he began to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Repentance is not forgiveness. Repentance is a turn and a change of mind. It's a new mind, a new heart, a new life. I'm not going to be like that anymore. I want a new start in Christ. And you cannot do that. Only Christ can do that. And Christ started to rebuke these towns like Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto the heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. Speaking of Capernaum, you are going to be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it should be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. There is a day of judgment. Saints, there is coming a day of judgment, and this city will stand before God. Every man, every woman in this city is literally going to stand before God in judgment. And saints, we are caught up in that. Us being here preaching. It's a miracle that I'm here this morning. It's a miracle that some of you are here. Christ healed my body. He healed my body. He changed my soul. He's done miracles in our life. And we've got to tell this message to this city. Oh God, save us, change us, help us. My God, we need a new heart. My God, we're praying that you save men.